The word of God given to us today is Philippians 2, verses 25 to 30. Allow me to read the text. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for his work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourself could not give me. Amen. The presidential election in the U.S. takes place on the first Tuesday after the first Monday of November every 4 years. In election years, both ruling and opposition parties elect their delegates through caucuses or primaries in each state. These delegates gather together in the party convention to officially decide the presidential candidate. The convention is usually held at the end of July by the opposition party first and by the ruling party in August. The national convention is called the Flower of American Democracy. On July 19, 1988, the Democratic National Convention took place in Atlanta, Georgia. The stars of the convention were Michael Dukakis, the governor of the state of Massachusetts, and Reverend Jesse Jackson, who was strongly supported by African Americans. Of the 4,160 delegates, Governor Dukakis secured 2,800 votes, while Reverend Jackson secured 1,100 votes. So the nomination of Governor Dukakis was certain. A day after the opening of the National Convention, Reverend Jackson publicly supported Governor Dukakis while at the same time stressing the unity among members and delivered the following message. Mike Dukakis' parents were a doctor and a teacher, while my parents, a security guard, a homemaker, and hairdresser. There's a big difference between Brooklyn, Massachusetts, where Dukakis was born and grew up in, and Greenville, South Carolina, where I was born and grew up. He studied law, I studied theology. There are differences of religion, region, race, and differences in experience and perspectives. But the genius of America is that out of the many, we become one. Providence has enabled our paths to cross. Dukakis' ancestors came to America on immigrant ships. My ancestors came to America on slave ships. But whatever the type of ship we came in, we're now in the same boat tonight. America is not a blanket woven from one thread, one color, or one cloth. When I was a child growing up in Greenville, South Carolina, my grandmother could not afford a blanket, but we were not cold. Instead, she took pieces of old cloth, patches, silk, gabardine, crocker sack, only patches barely good enough to shine shoes with. But they didn't stay that way. Sturdy hands and a cord sewed them together and power, culture. Now Democrats spilled such a quilt. A country that Americans dream of is a country where 50 states, pieces strongly woven together so that The quilt will never tear at any time. However, whatever country we dream of, a country can never be perfect. That is because we humans are imperfect and extremely selfish. That is why even the most powerful nation in the world, America, is being shaken up. There's only one country which is perfect and eternal. The country ruled by God, who is perfect and eternal. God lets us live a life like silk, wool, and sometimes cotton. Whatever patches we may live a life like, our lives can become patches which are eternal and woven as a quilt of God. Only when we live our lives focusing on the eternal God. In the Philippi church, there were people who dedicated their patches of life to the Lord for the sake of gospel. Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, earned his living by trading in fabrics. He offered himself to the Lord in a manner more beautiful than the fabrics he sold, and became the first patch of the Philippi church with God's grace. The slave girl, a fortune teller who was possessed by evil spirits, was like an abandoned patch. She was not considered to be an individual, but just a means of making money for her owner. She, however, was also cured by Apostle Paul and became a patch for the gospel. The prison guard of the Philippi prison thought it was everything to live for the Roman Empire with Roman values. But one day, when Paul and Silas prayed and worshipped in the prison, there was an earthquake, and the prison started shaking. The doors opened and the chains came off the prisoners. Waking up, the prison guard realized how serious the situation was and tried to kill himself. He thought the patch of his life was no longer of any use now. At that moment, Paul yelled out, "We shall stay as we were, so do not harm yourself." The prison guard fell to the ground and asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." That night, the prison guard and his family were baptized and became the patches woven with God through the gospel. Such people gathered together and made a quilt, which is the Philippi church. The quilt includes patches, which are Paul and Timothy as well. Today's text introduces another patch. His name is Epaphroditus. He is described in verse 25 as follows. "But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs." Apostle Paul introduces Epaphroditus in four ways. First, he refers to him as my brother. Epaphroditus was a member of the Philippi church, but was a Gentile, not a Jew. Apostle Paul, on the other hand, was an Orthodox Jew. At the time, the Jewish people thought that Gentiles were merely firewood for hell, and that it was not sacred to be with Gentiles in the same place. Paul, however, calls Epaphroditus my brother. Brother is translated into Adelphos in Greek. Adelphos comes from the word womb. Since only those born from the same womb can be brothers and sisters, brother or sister in the Bible is a word connoting very close relationship. If it had been before Paul had met the resurrected Lord, he would never have called Epaphroditus that way. The reason why Paul was able to call him my brother is because both Paul and Epaphroditus became the patches of the same quilt, which is Christ. Secondly, he refers to him as co-worker. This means someone who works together with you. This was so because Paul and Epaphroditus were pieces of mosaics who devoted themselves for the same master, same country. When I attended seminary, we had chapel service twice a week. During the first semester of my second year, one retired pastor came to the sermon during the chapel hour, and he made students laugh and cry. I do not remember what he preached about, but there is one saying of his that I cannot forget. Most pastors, when they came to give a sermon, referred to students as my beloved younger alums, my beloved seminary students, or my beloved pastors in training. But this pastor called us my beloved co-workers. Tears came to my eyes. I remember praying to God, God, would I be able to serve you steadfastly until my hairs turn white like his? May I be used by you all of my life. Paul and Epaphroditus were of different race, different age, and had different experiences. And before meeting Christ, their religions also differed. However, Paul now thinks of Epaphroditus as his co-worker and raises him up to his level. The way to help those who are younger than me, who started faith later than me, is to raise them to my level. But it is not right to think that one is always at a higher point than the other. We all learn from each other as we mature. Thirdly, Paul refers to him as fellow soldier. The reason that relationships between war buddies are deeper than other relationships is because it is a relationship in which both put their lives on the line. This is particularly true for those who participated in the Korean War, Vietnam War. At the time, lives of Christians were very difficult because the persecution of the Roman Empire was very severe. Their daily life was, in fact, a battle. At the time, soldiers went to battle in tight formation. They held strong armor and made sure that the arrows or spears of the enemy would not penetrate them by marching forward shoulder to shoulder with the next man. Because they marched forward and backward in accordance with marching orders, they were able to protect each other by ensuring that the opponent would not be able to break that camp. Paul had the following picture in his mind. He and Epaphroditus are spiritual soldiers who are going forward shoulder to shoulder, and they provide strength to each other. They protect each other and thereby fight the enemy. In this way, they became pieces of the quilt, which is Christ. Fourthly, he says, he refers to him as messenger whom you sent to take care of my needs. A person who takes care of needs means a public servant, an official. When the Old Testament in Hebrews was translated, this meant a priest who worked at the temple. Chapter 4, verse 18 testifies as follows. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are fragrant offerings, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Paul says the offering that the church of Philippi sent through Epaphroditus is fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Although now we do not repeat the sacrificial rituals these days, we should not forget that our lives are offerings. Our worship service, praises, prayers, and serving other members of the church are all in fact sacrifices offered to God. Persons who do these things from the center of their hearts are the priests. We know much about Paul, who recorded Philippians. We also know a lot about his life. And we know relatively a lot about Timothy because we have 1st and 2nd Timothy. But we know almost nothing about Epaphroditus because his name is mentioned only twice in Philippians. But it was due to total devotion of unknown people such as him that made the early church a true church. The reason that our 100th anniversary memorial church was able to grow and mature was not only due to the hard work of the pastors, but due to those who devoted themselves to the Lord, although others may not know them. Apostle Paul continues to describe Epaphroditus as follows in verse 26. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Epaphroditus, who was initially a member of the Philippi church, was sent to Paul to serve God together. But he came down with homesickness and became seriously ill. And he became troubled because he came to know that the members of the Philippi church had discovered that he was ill and were worried about him. The phrase "was troubled" was used once before in the New Testament and is found in Matthew 26, verse 37. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. The word troubled has the same meaning as very worried. How Jesus' heart must have been troubled, heading towards the hills of Gethsemane, knowing that the cross is in front of him. He went around with his disciple for 3 years, but there was no one who correctly understood the Lord. Even at the time, the disciples only thought was, when Jesus goes to Jerusalem and becomes king, they will be assured a position. And so they disregarded the earnest request of the Lord to participate in what was happening by prayer and just slept on. Now, Epaphroditus does not care about his illness, but is worried about the people of Philippi church who knew that he was ill. There is an old saying that other people's plague is no worse than my cold. Because human beings are extremely self-centered, they have a tendency to make others even more uncomfortable when they are uncomfortable. But Epaphroditus was not like this. And Paul, who knew how Epaphroditus felt, sent Epaphroditus ahead of Timothy. As to how sick Epaphroditus was and about what had happened, verse 27 testifies as follows. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. It was not the case that Epaphroditus was sick just a little. If we were to speak as now, he was as sick as a doctor telling us, we think you should prepare for a funeral. But miraculously, Epaphroditus became well by God having mercy on him. Verse 30 testifies what heart Epaphroditus had even when he faced death because of a severe illness. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Although the shadow of death was following him, Epaphroditus didn't put his life in the hand of death, but put his life in Christ. In particular, in the phrase risking his life, risking is a term used in gambling. When gambling, like playing poker, if one is dealt a good hand, he bets all of his chips. That is, he goes all in. Therefore, Epaphroditus firmly believed that Jesus Christ was the best hand he was ever dealt, and so it was worthwhile to lay down his life for Christ, and that was the way of absolute victory. So in the moment of death, he risked his life and completely gave his life to Christ. In this world, only Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, can give us eternal life. And only when we serve as a patchwork of his work can we live a life attached to eternity. A few years ago in May, there was a newspaper article. A person by the name of Gu Jae-hoon went on a trip to Ipa Island with the families of his three sisters. After finishing an all-day tour at around 4 p.m., a total of 8 people, 3 people from Mr. Gu's family and 4 people from his sister's family and another sister departed in a motorboat owned by Mr. Gu and headed for Cheonggak Port, located on Daebu Island. It would have taken just 1 hour round trip, but they did not return for 5 hours. So the remaining families made a report to the Marine Police. Around 2:20 a.m. the following day, after 14 hours since the boat left, the Marine Police, with patrol vessels and helicopters, were able to save Gu Jae-hee, one person who was holding onto a buoy. All others were found dead. All of them were wearing life jackets, but as they had been in the water for a long time, they died from hypothermia. Mr. Koo had a wife and 5-year-old daughter, and his sister had a husband and 2 daughters, ages of 6 and 3. What had happened was, 10 minutes after the boat departed, the boat was caught in a net and started to sink. Mr. Koo, who was maneuvering the boat, shouted with an urgent voice that the boat is sinking. Mr. Koo's sister, Cha-hee, jumped into the water holding her 6-year-old daughter. What must I do? Pujayu shouted to her husband. He replied, if you hold on to that buoy next to you, I will go to you. The boat owner, who was a good swimmer, dived in and out of the water to reposition the boat, but he was not able to. However, because everybody was wearing life jackets and the waters were calm, the family stayed together and encouraged each other, saying, we will soon be saved. The adults tried to encourage the small girls, ages between 3 to 6, who were floating and paddling in the water, by saying, we will soon be saved, let's hold on for a bit. Then they saw a boat passing by, and all the families shouted, help, with all their strength. But the boat did not see them, and just disappeared. Darkness fell upon them, and the people in the water became tired. For children, 4 hours in the water had taken the life out of them. Doyeon, don't go to sleep, her mom said, trying to wake Doyeon up. But she had lost consciousness. Honey, Doyeon is losing her consciousness, she shouted at her husband next to her. But her husband was also losing consciousness as well and said, honey, I'm sorry. Seeing her husband and daughter dying in front of her eyes, the only thing she could do was to cry in the darkness. After 14 hours of holding on to a buoy in the dark sea, finally a patrol vessel came to them, but it was after 7 people had died. Mr. Koo's sister, Jayong, was found dead with her niece on her back. This is a truly sad story. Koo Jae-hoon must have been a very good swimmer to own a motorboat. However, his swimming skills could not save him. Also, the survivor's husband was only 33 years old. Such youth, though, could not save his life or his family's life. In a society where everyone is so busy, it is not easy for many families, relatives, to go on vacation together. So they must have been very close to each other. Such affection, however, did not save them. After the boat capsized, when they were floating in the water, they must have encouraged each other by saying, come on, let's hold on a little longer. We'll be saved. They must have reassured themselves over and over, we can survive, we will be saved. However, such encouragement and reassurances were not able to save them. According to the newspaper article, the Marine Police Station was only 20 minutes away. However, It took them 14 hours to find them. Even the modern high-tech devices were not enough to save them. As we live in this world, what can we truly depend on? We walk in the path of life, attaching our lives. Where should we attach our lives? Personal belief, money, honor, or power? These values only show how powerless we are before death. Yet the reason we are able to live with hope, joy, and happiness is because the life attached to Jesus Christ does not end with death. The reason such faith cannot be shaken is because a person who leaves his life in the hands of the Lord, whether one dies from old age, or whether one dies in an accident, or whether one dies in pain from illness, or whether one dies at a very young age, in whatever way we die, we can live an eternal life after death. Where can we find eternal life, endless life, or a life that even death cannot take away in any circumstances? How much must we pay to buy such life? Only people who live a life attached to Jesus Christ, who go all in with their lives for Jesus Christ, can attain such a life. Jesus Christ gave His life on the cross in order to give us such a life. There is no other way to make our lives meaningful than to go all in for Jesus Christ. I pray that the life of Epaphroditus, who went all in for Jesus Christ, become the challenge for all of us in the following week. Let us pray. O Father, our God, thank you for letting us understand that our lives in dungaree or even in wool or silk become meaningless unless they are attached to the Lord. When a patchwork called Apostle Paul was attached to the Lord, he became a sample to us by showing how a Christian should live and what Christianity is. A patchwork of Epaphroditus, which is not a familiar name to us, made us to re-examine our life and faith and made us ashamed by his sincerity and devotion. Please let us follow his way of life, in which nothing is more valuable or can make one's life more meaningful than to go all in for Jesus Christ. We struggle to keep our lives. However, we know that our lives are not in the shape or form we want or we desire. We confess that although we know that attaching our lives and completely committing our lives to the Lord is the most meaningful thing to do, we know that we are beings that find it difficult to actually live that way. In whatever circumstance we are in, help us learn with our hearts that only Jesus Christ is worthy for whom we can bet our entire life without any regrets. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.